Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. We usually talk about religious liberty on a global scale during this program. Not everyone on earth enjoys this unique freedom, and that's a tragedy. Today, however, we're going to shift our focus a little closer to home. Today, we're going to discuss grassroots religious freedom, the type we find at our local Christian church. Is it alive and well? Do the members of our local congregation understand and appreciate the finer points of religious liberty? Let's find out. Our guest today has tended the grassroots of Christianity for decades as a pastor. He's now retired, and I've asked him to talk with me about religious freedom as it pertains to those who occupy the pews of our local churches. He's also the father of three lovely daughters, one of which happens to be my wife. Harold Keebler, welcome to Life Quest Liberty.
Well, thank you.
Pastor Keebler, let's begin with a basic question. Is God's family well-informed on religious liberty issues? More to the point, do they even care?
That's an interesting question, because I've been thinking about, since you asked me about this interview,
yes,
the real problem in the church regarding religious liberty.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest threat, I think, is internal rather than external.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're touching on today, I guess, is that point.
Yes.
What is the problem in the local church? I'll give you an illustration of something that happened not too long ago. We wanted to put a little five-minute program on a local religious station.
Mm-hmm.
And the manager of the station was very favorable. He even worked with us. And then he assigned us a prime time, 5 minutes to six evening time, to air our program. And it was just a little music at the front. And I did a little talking about a particular Bible verse, and then music to close it. Well, the week went well until Thursday. On Thursday, the manager got a call from a local pastor, another denomination, but it was a fact where a Christian was attacking religious liberty of other Christians.
Hmm.
And the manager said, "I'm sorry, I have to shut you down." I think that's kind of an illustration of what's happening. I think our greatest danger is from within, not only of the understanding of religious liberty, but of the actions that we take in dealing with it with other people.
You make an interesting point here, Pastor Keebler, because as we've discovered on a global scale here, it is not necessarily those who are requesting religious liberty for themselves. The problem seems to be in those allowing religious liberty for other people. Am I on the right track?
Yes. In fact, after you called, I began thinking about that. I thought of some illustrations that I remember from church. Sometimes in the church itself attacks religious liberty of the others in the church.
Mm.
I remember one day one of our members, and he was struggling spiritually, had his Bible app on his phone. And so as I was preaching, I would watch him pick up his phone, and he would follow along in the passages that I was preaching about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a member or two who decided that a phone in church was not what should happen.
Mm.
And they criticized him, and eventually he actually left the church. I think that's an illustration of what we're trying to talk about, isn't it?
It is indeed. So, Pastor Keebler, tell me this. What do you do? How do you stand up in front of people that apparently contain individuals like the ones you just mentioned and try to bridge that gap to say, hey, not only do you want to have religious freedom for you, but you also have to open your heart for religious freedom for other people? How do you address that?
Well, that's a good question, because I'm not sure there's a total answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have their convictions and their compunctions, and they're going to follow through with them regardless what other people might think. In that case, I dealt with it as carefully as I could. The person who was the most critical of this man also was critical of a lot of other things.
Sure.
And so it was a delicate situation, and I'm not sure we conquered it all. But the sad part was that eventually that man left the church because he did not feel comfortable there.
Now, let's dig down a little bit deeper. We'll use this man as the illustration. A psychiatrist would probably tell you that religious liberty was not the issue. That was not what was driving this thing. There was something deeper. What do you think was deeply embedded in this person's heart that would manifest itself in this particular issue?
Now, you're talking about the one who did the attack?
Yes, the one that did the attack, yes.
Well, as I think back on it, he was very opinionated on every subject you brought up.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter what it was. He came from another part of the world. He came from a place where religion had been repressed. And now that he had his freedom, I think he did not grasp that in America here, we can do things differently and think things differently than where he came from. And I'm not sure we ever conquered the problem, because after I left that church, I heard that there were still problems in that particular man's agenda.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've identified an issue here that manifests itself as a religious liberty issue, and that is an inability to accept other people. Now, you will find that issue, and correct me if I'm wrong, you will find that issue as the basis of racism. You'll find that issue as the basis of abuse. You will find that issue as the basis of a lot of sin. Am I on the right track?
Well, in fact, the whole world is caught up in this. If a person doesn't think the way we think, then it's easy to attack them, and we're seeing that in every aspect. Our country itself is being split by those concepts. Another issue that goes along with that, in a sense, is we had some teenagers who were just learning to play the guitar, and we decided we would allow them to lead the song service between the two services, the study time and the worship time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first time they did it, several members of the church got up and walked out. They were denying those young people the opportunity to serve. They were stealing from them the liberty that they should have had. What they were playing was perfectly proper. Their playing wasn't all that great. And they walked out, and those young people were hurt. And I look back today, and hardly any of them call themselves Christians today.
Oh, my, my. I'm hoping, listener, that in your heart as well as mine, we're hearing a wake-up call here. We are hearing an alarm being sounded, because our actions, as demonstrated by these stories that Pastor Keebler is telling us right now, our actions in this arena have long-lasting and far-reaching effects. Now, Pastor Keebler, you say that you haven't figured out how to fix that. Is making unity what we should be after in our church? We hear a lot of sermons about unity and all coming together and holding our hands together and singing kumbaya and all that around the campfire. Is that what we should be after, or is there something else that we should be stalking here as far as what the human heart is capable of? What's your thought on that?
Well, I see Jesus dealing with disciples, 12 different disciples, didn't always agree on everything.
That's true.
But his approach to them was to share the truth. And when the truth was shared, then they began to be able to be together, perhaps not in total unity, but at least without dissension against each other. Jesus is the answer to the question. And when the Holy Spirit impresses Jesus in our hearts, then our look at other people and their actions and their convictions, we see them as Jesus would see them rather than as we see them.
Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, once said on this program, and it shocked me when he said it, he said, "There's far too much religion in this world." And he let that sit there just for a moment, and then he says, "There's far too little spirituality in this world. What we need is more spirituality." And that sounds like what you're saying, right?
Right, because what some of our people, and probably all of us on occasion, do, we make judgment on the other person based upon our conviction, when their conviction may be just as proper or just as intelligent and spiritually powerful as ours, because of their background, because of their understanding of the spiritual things. So, and unity doesn't necessarily mean that we all think the same or agree on every point.
When you say it doesn't mean we agree on every point, how far do we go? How far do we allow someone else, Pastor Keebler, to not agree with us? Is there a limit to that where we have to just sort of knock the dust off of our sandals and move on?
Well, Jesus told his disciples that. He says, they don't accept you, move on. Mm-hmm. Shake the dust off our sandals and move on. Mm-hmm. But I do think there's a point, of course, at which if the conviction of the person is non-scriptural, then we do have some basis on which we can make legitimate judgment. For instance, just recently, somebody said to me, in fact, it was my pastor, he said, somebody handed me a note and said that we all must kneel when we pray.
Okay.
That's what it says. Well, I'm not sure that I see that's what it says, and I don't think you see it that way.
No.
But the point is that some people just have convictions that are beyond the biblical scope of what we should look at and practice.
So religious liberty is bound by the Bible. We use the Bible as a way of identifying our relationship with other people and also putting barriers and boundaries to our relationship with other people. Are we on the right track saying that?
Yes, I would say so, okay. Because if that's not our standard, then what is our standard?
Mm.
It is ourselves. And that's where we're in trouble in the whole thing.
All right. Well, in the last minute or so we have of the program here, Pastor Keebler, what advice would you give to pastors to encourage and motivate them to include religious liberty in their topic list each year? And now that I've heard you say this, religious liberty is a lot broader. How do you encourage them to do this? What would you say to them?
I guess the one thing that I always thought about was, how does the other person see this situation? And then I tried to see it as they saw it. And that helped often in circumstances like this. I do know that those people that walked out when the young people played their guitars came back and apologized later. But the apology did not solve the situation with those young people's minds. So as pastors, I think we preach Jesus. We preach the Holy Spirit working the character of Jesus into our lives, and that will probably take care of most of our human foibles as far as attacking each other within our religious system.
We preach Jesus. Pastor Harold Keebler, retired, living down in Collegedale, Tennessee, and also he is my father-in-law, and I'm very proud to have him on the program today. Pastor Keebler, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your words of wisdom and guidance. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the privilege.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Pastor Harold Keebler, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.